Hey, everybody, before we jump into this episode, this is a 2024 look at strength training, one of our health pillars, our health multipliers. We talk about this often. This episode is all about strength training, specifically about zone two fitness. What is it? Why is it important? And specifically, how should we be thinking about this in terms of longevity, meaning living a long time and feeling really great? I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of the Future of Medicine podcast. I am your host, Dr. Aaron Wenzel, joined as always with the lovely and very talented Jen Justice.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm super good.
Good.
Are you excited about this topic?
I'm so excited. Anything fitness related, I get excited about.
It has been your life for quite some time now, and this is going to be a really good topic. This is a recap kind of annually on the things that we think are most important, and this is around health multipliers, specifically one of our three health multipliers around strength training. Mm-hmm. Specifically, zone two training, what the heck is it, and why is it important? So I'm specifically interested in this topic because it's popular right now. There's mm-hmm. a lot of buzz and chatter going around about it. And I thought it would be useful for you and I to have a conversation documenting some early thoughts on it, specifically as to why it matters for a longevity, for somebody who has longevity, performance, living a long time, feeling good, high on their list. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right in. So first of all, what is it, Jen? Talk to us about what is zone two?
Well, I don't think we can talk about zone two unless we talk about the ends of the spectrum when it comes to zone training. And so, like a lot of things we talk about here on the podcast and with our practice, is things exist on a spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about our training, whether it be aerobic, strength, you know, all of those different types of training, there's like six different zones. The first zone, zone one, is just basically you're just alive. So mm-hmm. you're thinking,
sleeping,
sitting,
breathing,
working, sleeping, whatever. And then on the opposite end of that spectrum is zone six. So mm-hmm. to me, that would be like the highest intensity exercise that you could stand.
A full out sprint for as long as you could go at mm-hmm. maximum 100% effort.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's zone six.
Yeah. So that gives context for these zones.
And so then zone, and all of this is based on heart rate, right? So mm-hmm. the intensity is based on your heart rate. And zone two falls into more of like a moderate intensity where you do it, you keep your heart rate in a certain area, which we'll talk about shortly, but you can carry on a full conversation. Like you probably don't want to do that, but you can carry on a conversation. Your rate of perceived exertion is low enough to where you're not dying, but you're also not just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's activity more than just minimal viable activity for life.
Yeah.
And I think that, understanding how we actually, I don't think you need to get lost in the math.
Right.
And like, but for those who want the math, basically it's 60 to 70% of your maximum heart output. Loosely, the way we come up with maximum heart output is take your age and subtract your age from 220. Mm-hmm. That is the maximum theoretical heart rate that you could achieve. What we're suggesting is you multiply that number by either 0.6 or 0.7, and that's roughly a zone two target heart rate. Mathematically, that works out, depending on your age, obviously, you know, 120, 130, 135, somewhere in that range where, you know, you're definitely moving, but you're not really, you're not huffing and puffing. Mm-hmm. It's almost infinitely sustainable mm-hmm. and doesn't require breaks, per se. If you don't have a fitness tracker, you know, where you could actually monitor your heart rate, I love that you bring up having a conversation. I think someone having a conversation with you on the phone while you're working out in zone two would know that you're working out. They mm-hmm. can hear that you're exercising or moving, or, but they would also notice that you have the ability to have dialogue and be in the conversation and engaging in the conversation and not need to take breaks.
Yeah.
That would be reflective of that same heart zone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's interesting to point out that in preparing this, it dawned on me that my instincts early in hearing about zone two, and I think a lot of people might think this, is like, oh no, I don't want to learn a whole new way to exercise. Like, I already either love what I do, or I already have a hard enough time finding things that I like to do. Don't make me do something new. And what I would say is, you don't have to. That whatever activity you are doing that you enjoy, you can make it a zone two exercise by either ramping it up or scaling it back in intensity. So if you like to walk a little faster, find some hills, mm-hmm. add some weight to your ankles and to your wrist. If you love CrossFit and you never see yourself exercising outside of a CrossFit gym, cool. Just dial it back, the intensity, to keep your heart rate in that target range.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that about it. It feels dynamic and it feels simple,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice combination. So in the next section is, why is it important? Like, specifically for longevity, what are the aspects that make this an important zone for folks to prioritize? And what I would say is, at the highest level, it improves cellular efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't want to get bogged down in the weeds here, but every cell has a mitochondria. And mitochondria, if you remember from your high school biology, are kind of the power plants. That's where the Krebs cycle is. It's where you make ATP. ATP is the universal currency of energy as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
All roads lead to different pathways to trigger a mitochondria to produce ATP. And the more ATP we have, the more energy we have. And the more efficient each mitochondria is, the better we are at creating that currency of energy. And so what we know about zone two is that it is a fantastic stimulator at a low level of mitochondrial efficiency for the production of ATP. And what's interesting is that if you wanted to be an elite sprinter, jumper, weightlifter in this zone 4, 5, 6 range, you will be severely handicapped in your capacity to perform at these high impact, high performance burst type exercises if you have not first optimized in low intensity environments,
mm-hmm.
Efficiency of cellular currency called ATP. So it has benefit in and of itself, but it also provides a very substantial building block that will be needed if you have ambition to layer in more intense exercise downstream. So I think that's really important to point out. What ends up happening when you increase your cellular efficiency with energy is that you're just able to perform better. You have better endurance. You have more stamina. It's resistant to fatigue. And for anybody who works out a bunch, like you, like me, you can reload so much faster. It's almost like you're ready to go back in the game. You don't need a weird amount of time to recover from an energy effort. And I think that's just really important, because consistency, that you've talked about a lot, is probably mm-hmm. the number one variable to success in this space, is just being able to show up with consistency. Hard to do if you don't feel recovered.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's the big thing. Increased cellular energy, which lays the groundwork for hyper-efficient energy-producing mitochondria, so that you can continue to perform at a high level and even explore very, very high output with a resistance to fatigue and a quickness and speed to recovery.
Mm-hmm.
What else is zone two for you? What are some things that stand out to you for zone two benefits? Like, why should we care?
I think you touched on one, which is the recovery aspect. So, you know, I think for me, talking about rest days or active recovery days used to mean in my brain just doing nothing. But mm-hmm. what I've learned from you and other gurus in the space is that it
hardly a guru.
But. Well, yes, you are. it means that you still stay active. Maybe you just don't go as hard that day. Mm-hmm. And so for me, zone two, and I do it probably 5 to 7 days a week, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. I work it into, you know, mostly daily things is a great way to just recover that day. So, you know, today, for example, for me is a rest day. I'll just take a walk, mm-hmm. a brisk walk, you know, try to get my steps in for the day. So that's great. Also, one of the things I've experienced through wearing a continuous glucose monitor or a CGM mm-hmm. is that it's a great way to stabilize your blood sugar.
Oh, no question.
After you eat.
Yeah.
So taking like a post-dinner walk really helps for me to stabilize my blood sugar, helps me sleep better, kind of gives me a lot of mental health benefits. You and I kind of joke and talk about me time, quote yeah. unquote, but it's important. And some of these activities can be done with a partner, you know, like mm-hmm. I love to take an evening walk with my husband. Sometimes I just want to go by myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a great way for your mental health too, to just kind of reset either for the day coming up or at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a really underestimated or underappreciated level of activity. Mm-hmm. It kind of gets poo-pooed. And the science now is really starting to point towards now, hang on a minute, you know. One of the things we didn't touch on that makes it uniquely interesting to me is not only all these benefits we're talking about, but because it is generally lower intensity, the risk of injury is mm-hmm. very low. Mm-hmm. And anything that you can do for a long period of time and have benefit and also not be absorbing a tremendous risk profile for injury, again, feeds back to this consistency variable. Mm-hmm. When you're on a fitness plan and a health journey, getting injured, people tend to go backwards.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, a 50% loss in energy means you need 100% recovery just to break even.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do. And so I like the injury profile mm-hmm. on zone two exercise. And I just want to reiterate again the value of this type of training that can be overlooked in an active recovery. So, you know, we've talked about the difference between active versus passive recovery. Passive is for injury.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've injured something. Okay, take 10 days off. It's fine. I mean, yeah. you've really injured yourself. Like that is a type of recovery that requires really minimal movement to help things calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of injury, though, if you're taking a day off, it's still, in an ideal situation, an off day should include some activity
mm-hmm.
that looks a lot like a walk
mm-hmm.
or a light jog or a swim or a game of tennis or, you know, something that isn't tremendously burdensome from an outlay of energy,
mm-hmm.
but it does give you exposure to connecting your body, firing your nervous system, pumping the blood, getting your tissue, keeping you alive.
Yeah.
I think that's a real, real value. I think as we close this out, really honing in on the longevity piece. I mean, we've hinted a little bit at some of the longevity benefits, but we've primarily been focusing on the short-term benefits of it. But I think it's easy to explain in my mind why this type of exercise fits the plan for someone who has ambition to live a long time and feel really good. And it's rooted in this idea that the human experience is our infrastructure is muscle and bones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fed by blood and controlled by a nervous system and hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Our infrastructure, our foundation, are bones and muscle. And there's a condition as humans age called sarcopenia. It is the loss of lean mass over time. And this is a normal response to aging, normal as in common, to be expected. It's what we normally see. But I push back against it as being acceptable. Mm-hmm. What we know about chronic disease is that many of the chronic diseases, especially metabolic diseases, which we believe around here to be kind of the gateway disease to all the other things you don't want, like heart disease and cancer and even Alzheimer's probably. Mm-hmm. If we can push out and delay metabolic disease through cellular efficiency of energy, which also feeds muscles and keeps muscles firing. You know, I think it was Mark Hyman said, you know, I think you quoted him.
Oh, yeah.
Muscle's
the currency of health.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that.
That doesn't stop at menopause. Mm-hmm. Although for a woman who goes through menopause, she is at unique risk post-menopause to have that currency of life. And we have come to accept it because it's common. But I encourage people to think about this in a way of like pushing back. That is actually where we have the greatest opportunity to delay the chronic disease and decline aging that comes with the loss of this lean mass, this energy currency. I think it makes too much sense to ignore this. And my hope from a longevity standpoint is people would look at this moderate impact zone two type of exercise as having both short-term benefit, but also the foundation of a long-term high vitality life of having an infrastructure of muscles that are responsive. Well, they're there, they're there and they're strong and they're responsive. What about you? Where would your summary thoughts around longevity?
For me personally, you know, I'll be 53 this year. I'm perimenopausal. I know the realness of losing muscle mass as you age. My fitness has greatly improved in the past 2 years. But every decision I make these days, whether it's what goes in my mouth or how I structure my fitness plan, is for my future self. I'm not doing it for 53-year-old Jen, although I do. It's for hopefully 90-year-old Jen, that I can carry groceries up the steps, that I can, you know, get up from the floor, that I can be vibrant and active and preserve as much as of my muscle as possible. Like, yeah, I would love to look great in a dress or jeans or whatever. I think every person, every female,
of course,
you know, that aspires to do that as I continue to lose weight and gain strength. However, there's a bigger reason for me, and that is, and I think it comes from, you know, seeing my parents' age, and they're in their late 70s now, and seeing how their life is affected by their age, and just thinking to myself, gosh, you know, I would really love to be the most vibrant, active version of myself, even at that age. And to do that, I know I have to really work at it now and lay the foundation and the runway for that later on in life. So that's the way I look at it a lot is, how would my future self thank me for this?
I mean,
I don't want to fall. You know, falling is a huge cause of death in the elderly.
Yes.
So I want to prevent falls. I want to stay strong. I want to, you know, just be there for my husband, be the best version of myself as I age, not really hang up the cleats, if you will.
I'm not sure what I could add that would be more impactful than what you just said. I mean, I think, first of all, thank you for the transparency and just sharing. I love that you give to your current self, but you also invest in your future self, and you're aware of her, that you honor her, that you are doing things in your current capacity to make her life better. I don't think all of us, myself included, you know, I wax and wane. Sometimes I do a good job at it. I've been in a pretty good place for a while now with that aspect, but there's been long seasons of my life where I really wasn't thinking about future Aaron. And in my worst times, I wasn't even thinking about my current Aaron. I was, you know, and I'm sure most people listening can identify with moments in their life where that might be true, might have been true. this is not often talked about in a fitness program, but it wasn't on our notes. I'm so glad you brought it up. It is, I think it's so important as a closing thought that, hey, this has big time benefits. You know, you're going to feel better. You're going to do better. You're going to perform better. But there's this version of you way down the road
mm-hmm.
who's going to give you a big high five.
Yeah.
And say thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what you did in your 40s, 50s, 60s, I am now crushing at 80 and 90.
Yeah.
And I still do things that my 40, 50-year-old self used to do. And I notice people around me my age can't even
mm-hmm.
hang with me.
Yeah.
That's a really powerful place to be.
I did a group fitness class a couple weekends ago, and I had done it a year ago. And a year ago, I could barely make it through. I was huffing and puffing.
It's a pretty intense class, right? Yeah, it wasn't like
it's like a stations, and it was like probably a zone 5.
Yeah, like hit high intensity.
Yeah, and so I was paired with 4 women. It was an all women's group, and I was paired with 4 women this year. And I kind of put the caveat out there. I said, "Listen, I'm old. I'm, you know,
sandbagger.
I just gotta kind of
sandbagger.
If I slow you down, just give me a minute. I'll recover and come back." And by the end of it, I like crushed it. And and this one girl that was in the lady that was in the group with me, she said, "I don't know why you said you were going to be slow and not be able to do this." Yeah. She said, "You did better than all of us." And, you know, not to brag, but when we talk about fitness, it's hard because you don't always see the results immediately. And so with just being consistent and incorporating these principles into my plan, I was able to see that and really, you know, be proud of that, to know that what I'm doing is working. I just have to keep doing it, even when I don't want to. And that's when you need to do it the most. So that was fun. But yeah, fitness can be difficult sometimes because, number one, it hurts when you get started. You're tired, you're sore, you know.
For a long time, too.
But zone 2, I really credit to my capacity to be able to do an intense workout like that at the cellular level. It's improving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a conversation you and I have offline, like, almost every day in some fashion. It's great to kind of collect some of our thoughts and create this episode. Any famous last words?
Thanks for always encouraging me.
Yeah.
And being there as a mentor and example. I mean, I know you work out hard as well, but you also do your zone 2 in your way, and you've figured out what works for you. So
I have compelling reasons.
You do.